Next is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 22nd chapter, text number 33, given on October 9th, 1992, in Vrindavan.
Translation. For human society, constantly thinking of how to earn money and apply it for sense gratification brings about the destruction of everyone's interests. When one becomes devoid of knowledge and devotional service, he enters into species of life like those of trees and stones. Purport. Jnana, or knowledge, means to understand one's constitutional position, and vijnana refers to practical application of that knowledge in life. In the human form of life, one should come to the position of jnana and vijnana. But despite this great opportunity, if one does not develop knowledge and practical application of knowledge through the help of a spiritual master and the shastras, in other words, if one misuses this opportunity, then in the next life he is sure to be born in a species of non-moving living entities. Non-moving living entities include hills, mountains, trees, plants, etc. Jai Gornitai. This stage of life is called Punyatam or Mukyatam, namely making all activities zero. Philosophers who support stopping all activities are called Shunyavadi. By nature's own way, our activities are to be gradually diverted to devotional service. But there are philosophers who, instead of purifying their activities, try to make everything zero or void of all activities. This lack of activity is represented by the trees and the hills. This is a kind of punishment inflicted by the laws of nature. If we do not properly execute our mission of life in self-realization, nature's punishment will render us inactive by putting us in the form of trees and hills. Therefore, activities directed toward sense gratification are condemned herein. One who is constantly thinking of activities to earn money and gratify the senses is following a path which is suicidal. Factually, all human society is following this path. Some way or other, people are determined to earn money or get money by begging, borrowing, or stealing, and applying that to sense gratification. Such a civilization is the greatest obstacle in the path of self-realization. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Sanyavani Pastitani Satani. In the previous verse, we heard that there is no stronger obstruction to one's self-interest than thinking other subject matters to be more pleasing than one's self-realization. So now in this verse, there's elaboration on what those other subject matters are that give us so much pleasure, so that we consider them more important than self-realization. And specifically, earning money and thinking about that all the time and using the money for sense gratification is a great obstacle to everyone and to civilization. Economic development is a very complicated subject. It's very complicated for the karmis, and it's also complicated for devotees. So many temples, of course, are faced with economic problems, and individual grihasthas who may not live in temples, everyone has to face the economic problem. It's complicated because the world we live in is complicated, and we're not completely divorced from it. We have to pay rents, we have to pay mortgages, and so on. Yet when we come to Vrindavan, or if someone is fortunate to live in Vrindavan, somehow the economic problems become not so prominent, not so complicated, to the point that it's a major obstruction in spiritual life. So perhaps especially for those of us who are not residing in Vrindavan, we may reflect on this, why when we are here, spiritual life takes its natural predominance over economic development. At least it tends to, if we are sincere. Someone might say that this is due to the economic situation of worldly India. And that may be. But that it's cheaper to live here and so on. But that could not be a sufficient solution for a spiritually minded person. The fact is that in Vrindavan, the spiritual practices are more dominant and easier to practice. And when that happens, then the material side naturally goes down. So it's ideal in that way and in other ways. Spiritual emphasis. When I was visiting Vrindavan last year for a few months, and then I went back to America, I saw and felt what a great difference it was. Not that I was in so much in the worldly India or the worldly America, although we see that, but in the society of devotees. Though in the West, the devotees were more in anxiety about making money, more absorbed in it. And as we say, there are material reasons for that, plus it's a very complicated subject. but there it was, anyway, that I had to face that. That devotees were, in a sense, not so much prepared to just hear about the importance of chanting and hearing, but they wanted to know how they could solve their economic problems and still practice devotional service. So at least in this verse and in many places, if we follow the Shastras, we'll get so much evidence that if you are sincere and serious about spiritual life, you have to be very careful not to overdo absorption in money-making, for whatever reason. And if you find yourself absorbed in that, then as with any anartha, you have to take steps to remove it, whatever they may be. Just as when we join Krishna consciousness, we may have been shackled by some habit, bad habit, among the four sinful activities. So we had to take some radical steps. But similarly, if our life is absorbed in money-making for sense gratification, then that's a great obstacle. Something has to be done. So in our society, Krishna consciousness movement, there are attempts on the community level to devotees live together, try to be self-sufficient, or individuals are trying to perhaps have a way to make money which is in line with devotional service and so on. But let's look for, rather than comment so much on these efforts, which have to go forward, but let us refer to the evidence, what is the actual balance to be sought. I looked in the Isopanishad for this because I remember Prabhupada's purports repeatedly make the point that modern civilization is misguided because of their so much attention on improving the material standard. He calls it decorating the dead body, which is the custom in India and sometimes in the West too, that you decorate the dead body. But what is the use of that dead body being decorated? still a corpse. So if you make all effort to make this material body beautiful, or the material situation beautiful, and don't tend to the soul, it's like that. Krishna consciousness is meant to be God-centered, Isa Vasya. But modern civilization wants to banish the idea of God and not make him the center. So then naturally, man becomes the center, and in material consciousness, he wants to develop artha, economic development. And why? For kama, for sense gratification. Thinking that sense gratification will be much improved if he has money. In discussing this, in one purport, Prabhupada translates in a very free way, like a purport way, the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, verses 8 to 12, where we have the items of knowledge. I'd like to look at a few of them, just to see the way Prabhupada translates them, and apply this to the problem mentioned in today's verse of money-making for sense gratification. And we'll see how this is related to knowledge and to ignorance. The first point of knowledge, which in the Bhagavad Gita is called mani-bham, or humility, Prabhupada translates as, one should himself become a perfect gentleman and learn to give proper respect to others. But even to be a gentleman or a lady is not possible if one is hedonistic, very competitive in money making. You cannot be a gentleman. There's a saying, nice guys finish last. Everyone is trying to get ahead. You may be a gentleman just for business sake, politely, but there is always this business competition. If my sense gratification is in any way disturbed by anyone else, I will not remain a gentleman. And people in their private lives are like animals with their low behavior because of addiction to sense gratification. Therefore, there's no question of being a gentleman. And the second point is atambikvam, prideless. And here Prabhupada translates it, one should not pose himself as a religionist simply for name and fame. So even into the religious life, these bad qualities can enter. There's so many examples of religious hypocrisy, where one might be after the same thing in religious dress, that is, money for sense gratification. And that's the worst place for this to occur, because the religious person is espousing, advocating spiritual values and supposedly leading society. But if someone does this same bad business in the garb of religion, this is very bad. Then other items mentioned is one should completely refrain from practices which are detrimental to the interest of self-realization. That's atma vinigraha, or self-control. And this is the exact same point that the Kumaras made in yesterday's verse. Anything which is not self-realization should not become a source of great pleasure for us or absorption in any way. And if you don't control yourself, then you don't have knowledge. One should not accept more than he requires for the maintenance of the body. This is a very important point for economic development. If one lives simply, then so many expenses are gone. In the devotee's budget, there's no expense for liquor, cigarettes, going to the theater, and so on and so on. More than you need. One should not be attached to more than the necessities of life required for spiritual advancement. One should not be more attached to wife, children, and home than the revealed scriptures ordain. One should become an unalloyed devotee of the personality of Godhead. And one should develop a liking for residence in a secluded place with a calm and quiet atmosphere favorable for spiritual culture and should avoid congested places where non-devotees congregate. These are items of knowledge. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that actually in the material world, what passes as knowledge is just entangling us. And he says it makes a person no better than an ass. The real knowledge is that material life is a bad bargain and that you'll have to suffer one way or another. So strenuous efforts to become comfortable are in vain. Therefore, there's no need to make them to such an extreme. But people don't have this knowledge. They think by more and more technology and money making, they can become actually comfortable. Prabhupada calls this, or compares this to increasing the disease of the body. He compares it to a disease, material life. But he compares the increase of material sense gratification to raising the disease beyond normal, the temperature beyond normal. Our temperature is 98.6 normally. And if you have a high temperature, then you're in trouble. But the karmis, by analogy, they actually want to get a high temperature. Prabhupada tells a story that a doctor was called to a rich man's home, and he had his wife examined. She was sick. And the doctor said, "She's not so bad. Slight fever, 102. She'll be all right." Then the doctor said, "While you're here, you can look at the maidservant." And he looked at her, and she examined her temperature. Her temperature was very high, 105. So he said, "This is very high temperature." And the wife overheard, and she said, "Why does she have a higher temperature than I do?" And became angry. This is what we're doing with our money making. And if there's any place for religion in the materialistic society, it's to serve economic development and sense gratification. How does it serve? Well, it makes people peaceful and moral so that we don't have chaotic society, too much criminality, or God may award you. Rohini Kumar Maharaj was mentioning evangelists who say that the sign of your God consciousness will be that you have money. This is their idea of religion. But Krishna consciousness reverses that, or brings it to its natural state, that religion is the main thing, or devotional service, and money-making, economic development is not as important. But there has to be some. And in Krishna consciousness movement, we don't hate money. Prabhupada used to say, money is the honey for the liberated soul. He can use money in the service of Krishna, but he also should never use money for unnecessary sense gratification. But then what is necessary and what is unnecessary? This individually, we have to practice gradually, and our progress will be not that we become, as we grow older, more and more established in business and richer and more absorbed in business, but getting trailing off, that we have less interest in that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes the balance. He does this when commenting on apichetsuracharo, on the term loose character, that a devotee, even if he has a loose character, should be accepted still as a devotee. He will quickly resolve himself. So in that connection, he describes the balance between necessary material maintenance and spiritual cultivation. He says, a conditioned soul has to act for double functions, for the maintenance of the body and again for self-realization. Social status, mental development, cleanliness, austerity, nourishment, and the struggle for existence are all for the maintenance of the body. The self-realization part of one's activities is executed in one's occupation as a devotee of the Lord, and one performs actions in that connection also. These two different functions parallel one another, because a conditioned soul cannot give up the maintenance of his body. So there's a frank recognition that there's a material side to life, and you should face it and then deal with it And there's a spiritual side to life. You should know what is the difference between them. And then strike the right balance. Prabhupada, in the charter for ISKCON, he speaks of a spirit, an imbalance in spiritual values in the modern world. The self-realization part, the two different functions parallel one another. The proportion of activities for maintenance of the body decreases, however, in proportion to the increase in devotional service. As long as the proportion of devotional service does not come to the right point, there is a chance for an occasional exhibition of worldliness, but it should be noted that such worldliness cannot continue for any length of time, because by the grace of the Lord, such imperfections will come to an end very shortly. Therefore, the path of devotional service is the only right path, and even an occasional occurrence of worldliness does not hamper one in the advancement of self-realization. So we will have to tend to worldly duties, and in so doing, we may sometimes become excessive. But that does not mean that one is not a devotee. However, along with other anarthas, this tendency will diminish. And only because he is more and more interested and absorbed in Krishna consciousness and doesn't even worry about those things anymore so much. In the purport, Prabhupada makes the point that if one does take to this path of money-making for sense gratification, he will fall down in the species of life and become like trees and stones. So there's such high stakes in this matter of how I live my life, whether I will go progressively back to Godhead or whether I'll fall down. Whatever one thinks of at the time of death, that determines the next body. Prabhupada said he personally witnessed the death of a man in Calcutta who was crying out the name of his mill, factory, at the time of his death as he was being taken away from this world and that place. So he would probably be born in that factory, but maybe as an animal or something like that. This is the result of too much material attraction. And the result of becoming free of this is that we have our time and energy and clarity for practicing Krishna consciousness, and at the time of death we'll not be thinking of such things, but we'll be thinking of Krishna. And our next life will either be back to Godhead or born again even more advantageously, not necessarily materially, but in a good spiritual position to go on. Therefore, although economic development is complicated, not to be glibly solved or put down as unnecessary, we should never lose the gravity or sight of the fact that it must always be subordinate to self-realization, and that is the right path. Hare Krishna.